What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Anything Better podcast with your hosts, Paul Berzy, Bill Burr, producer extraordinaire, the Greek freak, Andrew Themlis, out there in Beverly Hills. Got a quick announcement before we start this episode. Guess what, everybody? Oh, yeah, you guys asked for it. It's getting chilly. The fall's coming. You need those new shirts. You need those sweatshirts, all that shit. Well, that's right. By the time this podcast comes out, the official Anything Better merchandise shop will be available. You can get your tie-dyed shirts, hoodies, Halloween shit. It's going to be fun. So go to the link on the bottom of this shit and get it. Okay. That's it. You've been waiting for it. People been asking me all the time. When can I get a big truck electric? When can I get the Halloween shit? It's all coming. Now that that's out of the way, you guys are listening to another episode, weird number 37. And I only had one off the top of my head. Somebody gave me another one. Rodney Harrison of the New England Patriots was 37, I believe. And somebody said Sean Alexander, the running back of the Seahawks. Those are the only 37s that I know. Bill, what do you got?
I got Lester Hayes.
Oh, that's
Lester Hayes, Mr. Stick'em, two-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl 15, 16, and 18.
Mr. Stick'em is dope.
Mr. Stick'em. And then also
dope one.
Someone I heard of, but I didn't know much of, Doak Walker. His number's retired by the Lions. He's in the NCAA Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame. He won two NFL titles that they don't count for some fucking reason. In 1952 and 1953, and Paul, you know this. I need to tell you this. They beat the Cleveland Browns, beat Otto Graham, the original Tom Brady, and Paul Brown, the original Bill Belichick.
His name is Doak, D-O-K-E?
D-O-K, no, D-O-A-K, Doak Walker.
Wow.
White guy, looks like Paul Hornung. All right, wow. The best NHL guy to wear it. I'm a Bruins fan. I'm going to go with Patrice Bergeron. Major League Baseball, Paul. The best 37 I could find out there on the internet was Dave Steeb, the ace for the Toronto Blue Jays. Back-to-back Blue Jays.
I remember that.
And NBA, you got Meta World Peace on the Lakers. And to go deep, Paul, a deep cut, you got Nick Van Exel.
Nick
on the Golden State Warriors after he said, going back to Jamaica. Remember that when the Lakers got bounced out? He was singing, come back to Jamaica when he was walking off the court. They were like, oh, no, you ain't doing that. Take that shit up to Oakland. He said, I will. Now we're number 37 and get mentioned on the Anything Better podcast.
There you later. Go. I'm telling you, 37, 38, even 39, until we get to the 40s, it's weird. Weird numbers, man. Numbers. Somebody asked me what my number would be. And so if we've never mentioned it before, I'd be 11. I was born 11-11. I love the way the two ones look next to it. I always loved how it looked on Phil Simms. So I'd be number 11. If I was a defensive back, I'd pick one of my kids. Lucas is 29. So maybe something like that. Sophia's
29 is a good number. Raymond Claiborne, I think, wore that.
My first number was 27 when I played for the Raiders was my first team.
Raiders. I was 25 for like 2 weeks before my dad was just like, Christ, you're knocking your brains out of your fucking head. And that was the end of it. That was the end of it. And I still fucked up in school. You need to focus on your studies.
You didn't do that either.
No. He thought if he took away everything I had to look forward to, I would somehow
study.
Do better in school. That's how that generation thought. Paul, that generation yelled at babies. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Hey, knock it off. To a baby. Baby just sitting there. What the fuck? And that baby was me. Aw.
Screaming at a baby. The visual. Of a drunk grown man screaming in an infant's face.
Dude, when I was a kid, I used to see dads yelling at babies like they cut them off in traffic. I mean, it was just fucking, it was insane. But everyone was doing it, and you had a station wagon, you had like a pipe and a little fucking hat. It just fucking, it looked normal.
You ever see a family fighting at a restaurant and they're just quiet? It's fucking horrible.
Yeah, dude, I saw it was a lot of guys coming home in company cars. And the whole energy in the front yard of kids playing changed when that fucking Lincoln Town Car pulled up, or the fucking, you know, maybe you only got the Delta 88 and the guy across the street got the Lincoln Town Car and his wife's titties were a little bigger. I mean, tensions happened. The squirt gun fight ended quickly.
The when your dad comes
rotten
home,
apples, clean them up.
When your dad comes home, I remember being with friends and they'd be like, dude, my dad's coming. It was like, you just go back to Darth Vader when the ship came and everybody just was like, dude, when dad pulled up, it was oh, dude, it was fucked up, man.
No,
it's not like that now. It's not like that.
No, you knew what his car sounded like coming down the fucking street. You ran to the back of the house.
That's why so many guys in your generation know cars.
Like, no, no, I used to run away. I would literally, my dad pulled in the driveway, I ran away. Literally ran into the woods.
Oh, geez.
Ran for cover. He's back.
Now our kids love it when it's us. I know my guy.
Oh, now they're afraid of the mom. The mom's the one you don't want to fuck with. Mom comes home and, yeah, it just becomes like, oh, shit, I hope she's in a good mood.
I saw you with your kids, and I know you see me with my kids. We're like when Vito Corleone was in the garden playing with fruit before he collapsed. Remember? He's just like
Kids like jump on me like I'm not a person.
Yeah.
Like if I was laying there the other day, I had my eyes closed. And I was laying on the ground and my daughter thinks it's the funniest thing ever to jump up in the air and do Hulk Hogan's finishing move right on the center of my chest. Now, if I'm ready, I can sustain it.
That's
but I was
great.
Completely relaxed. I thought she broke my sternum and I just went like, oh,
does she nail it? Does she nail the kick? The drop?
No, dude, she just jumps up in the air and lands ass first on me. But, you know, she weighs like, you know, 40, 50 pounds. Would you want to be at the gym and have somebody drop a 40, 50 pound medicine ball on your sternum?
You run off the bed?
Yeah. It's off the playpen.
No, it's funny. They're afraid of mom. Lucas came in the other day and my son is crushing Matt. My son is good at hard things, but like a quick little English thing, he's just like, the English thing was a little, and I'm like, dude, you got 100 on the hardest math test that everybody in your class failed, but English is an issue, whatever. And he just goes, as we're walking in the house, he goes, dude, you're gonna tell mom or should I tell mom? You think she's gonna freak out? And I'm like, no, you're crushing school. Just go in and tell her that you had a hard time at one thing in English or whatever. And he was just like, he walked in the door. And if it was me, I'm like, you know, was it like in Rodney and Back to School ABC? You're in the top three.
Yeah, it takes a lot. It takes a lot for me to get upset with my kid. Like, you know, only today I had to be a little stern with my son because there's new things. He grabs his sister's hair with that Hulk vice grip that he has. I just had to be like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Nice hands. All right. And he was just staring at me and I had to stare him down because his shit is he just looks back at you like he's just observing. I told you that stuff. Like his thing, when I go to give him a bath, the second the water gets in the tub, he just starts grabbing shit and throws it in the tub. I mean, he knows he's not supposed to. Like he grabs the bath mat. The second there's a, you're not looking, he just grabs it and he just throws it in and then he just looks at you.
That's great.
I just start laughing. I can't stop laughing. And then it's worse. Then he's like, oh, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
And he just starts throwing everything in the tub. I have to, basically everything has to be in the sink so he can't reach it. Whatever's not in the sink, he throws in the tub.
Oh my God, dude. That's fucking so funny though.
Yeah. Just then he gets in it and then he brings his hands back like this and he just goes wham and gets the water all over me. I go, you know, the guys go, what are you doing or whatever? And then he cracks up and then I laugh and then he does it more. This is no respect. There's no respect. I'm overcompensating, Paul. I'm overcompensating for having to run into the woods when my dad came. Dude, I literally ran into the woods.
Wow.
Dude, it was like a lion was coming and we were all gazelles and we just got off the fucking Serengeti.
You stop, you look.
Yep.
Oh, man. You know what's weird? I don't remember my dad coming home. I was five when they got divorced. So my memory is my dad just pulling up in a fucking dope whip, and we would just get in the car and go out with him. Like my dad had a 1982 brand new black Jaguar XJ6, 1982. And you know, it had the Jaguar on the front hood, the hood ornament.
Yeah.
And it was white leather inside. He's a Verzi, of course. He had white leather inside, and he would just pull up, you know, and it wasn't.
Dude, 100% Sicilian guy is going to go with the white leather interior.
And
you're going to look like your olive skin against it. You're going to look like a god.
I don't know how somebody doesn't love it.
If I got in that car, I would look like that reverse Beatles album, you know, where it was all black, just their heads. It would be all white, just my orange beard, and my blue eyes. Where'd he go?
What's your go-to interior? Are you like the red or the tan? What's your go-to?
Well, what year are we talking, Paul?
I'm just saying, like,
I'll tell you this: a Wimbledon. I'm a Ford guy. A Wimbledon white Ford with that Ford blue interior.
Okay.
Oh, forget about it. And I love the red interior too, but I mean that's just sort of like a hat on a hat with me. I'm orange. I don't think the red's gonna look good. But I liked Ford. It literally had like one that was called something like window block box green, something about plants. And there was a buddy of mine. His dad had like a 76 Ford F-250 high boy, like an original with the transfer case, you know, separated from the transmission. So he had that thing, snowplowed that thing forever. It was like 12 years old. And I think about it now, I want to say it was a 76. It might have been a 70. But I was just thinking, like, I would buy that truck off him if he still had it, if it wasn't rusted out. You know, my ultimate car collection, Paul, is just basically a bunch of Ford trucks. I would have the 68 Ford F-100 that I have. I'd have like a 76, 77 High Boy F-250. And then I would have a 85 or a 86 F-150 4x4 short bed XLT Lariat. And then I would also have an 80 to 86 somewhere in there, four-wheel drive Ford Bronco, two-tone. I did a movie recently, and when the main character had a blue and white one, and I was just like, wow, that's
fucking awesome.
Yeah.
My grandfather, rest his soul, he had a brown car, and I never understood why until now. My dream, what I want now is I want a dark chocolate brown car with all white leather inside and wood to match the outside.
Oh, that's over. Chocolate brown. You can't have shit brown. You got to have chocolate brown.
Dark, like almost like it, at night, you don't know if it's black, but in the day, it's dark chocolate brown, and it's got white inside.
It's
one of the most beautiful. It's incredible. But dude, I was thinking about you laughing at me. So we got this Microsoft flight simulator for Boeing jets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lucas is, and it's all like the airport's exactly the approach. And then they have famous airports that are hard to land in France and all this shit. So I got the headset on, I got the fucking thing, and I'm sitting there, heart's jacked, fucking, and you hear the woman's voice, landing gear, right? Shit, like, dude, I had a fucking anxiety attack during this thing. I had an anxiety attack. I was thinking, yeah. I was good. Dude, here's what I learned. Here's what I learned about me. You never want me flying an airplane, ever. Fucking Bill, I had a 747 that I needed to land, and they took me on final approach to JFK the real way. I had all the instruments, I had everything there.
Well, do you know how to read the instruments? Did you slow down?
I learned
500
about,
miles an hour.
No, I learned about flare. For people that don't know what flare is when the plane is coming in for final approach to touch, you got to lift the nose a little bit. That's what they call flare. All right. And obviously lower the fucking engines down. So I had to,
slow it down. Don't you have to I don't know anything about planes. Don't you bring your flaps down or something like that too?
Well, yeah. You have the what's it called? What do they call the rudders that go each way? But once you level, I'm talking about like the last 1,000 feet. You just, you basically the last 1,000 feet, you just coming in. They obviously want you to line up with the fucking runway and have it level. And then when you're about to approach, when you're about to touch, you got to fucking pull back on the engines and do what they say, flare. So the nose doesn't go down. And then it just basically goes, dude, I crashed this fucking thing. It just, the screen went black and I was just, dude, I was having anxiety doing it.
So now, did you see they probably have runway lights there.
Yeah,
Vassie or a Pappy, and it's just like all white, you're too high. All red, you're dead. You, something like red under white, you're all right. Something like that. Helicopters don't have to deal with that because you can do like a steep approach. We can stop and do all of that shit. So I always forget how those things work.
So, then I did a Cessna, and she goes, "Okay, what we're gonna do is I want you to taxi out, turn, and stop, and wait to take off." I fucking went past it onto the grass. I couldn't even turn. Dude, I couldn't even. That's how like realistic it was, that turning the sticks and touching everything. And I was like, look, I just can't do this.
No, but you got to learn how to do it. I think if you double tap, you're stopping. I had to learn all of that, you know, when I started doing instrument shit, was I had to learn how to basically, you know, on that simulator, fly like a, just like a twin. I was flying a twin, whatever the hell you call them. And I remember it was just, as you were taking off, you had to have like left rudder so it would stay pointed straight or whatever. Once I got in the air, I was kind of fine. But it's fun, dude. Doing that shit is a lot of fun.
Well, that's my fan. I have two fantasies. One is robbing a bank. I always wanted to rob a bank. And two is I'm on an airplane and the flight attendant comes screaming out saying, is there somebody that could fly a plane? And it's all over. And I fucking get in there in my fucking Jordan 3s and my hoodie. And I fucking put the thing on and I take us home and everybody. And I'm a fucking, you know, so at least in my mind.
What if you rob a bank, you take hostages and then you demand a plane and they give you pilots and then they want the pilots to fly where they can arrest you. And then you tell them to get the fuck out because you know how to fly. You go under the radar and you fly somewhere else and you leave with the money and they never catch you.
That would be fucking dope. Remember that guy that jumped out of a plane he robbed? There was a guy that like...
Oh, yeah, that guy who died.
Did he die?
Well, they never found him, but yeah, he fucking died. You can't jump out of a fucking DC-10 and live. I just... with money.
37,000.
Yeah, fucking $3,200 in quarters fucking dragging you down to the ground.
Dude, I had a screenplay idea. Bank robbers. You never seen this before. Bank robbers who kill everybody. So if you just, they just go in and they spray because they know the code. There's no, it's not, oh, we have this amount of time. They go and they kill everybody. But one day they're about to go in. One of the guys sees his wife going in with one of his kids. And the rules are everybody dies and he's got to try to stop it. And then that's where I ended up ending with the idea. So it really needs to be flushed out.
Well, my thing is, why do I give a fuck about those guys if they just go and shoot people? Fuck them.
Yeah, I didn't get that far. I got to figure out a subplot. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to do an anti-hero movie, I think you got a great start off point. If you notice in those kinds of movies when they have somebody just killing everybody, it's always unsightly people. Well, they just show them for half a second. They don't want you to get into their backstory that these are people that people love. You know what I mean? Like they always got to be like a dick. That's why like in all those Steven Seagal movies, like he couldn't just walk in and beat the shit out of somebody and be a bully. Somebody had to fuck with him, you know, like, hey, nice ponytail there, twinkle toes.
Yeah.
And then he could turn. And then he'd kick the shit out of him every single time. Every single time, there was always that guy who couldn't just drink his drink. He just had to go out of his fucking way to get the shit kicked out of him. And the whole purpose of the scene is to establish what we already know, that is Steven Seagal knows karate.
Yeah.
Right?
What'd you say?
By the way, speaking of karate, the Heroes and Icon channel, how great a name is that, is going to start rerunning all the Walker Texas Rangers with Chuck Norris. And Chuck Norris has one where he's facing off with somebody and the guy gets into some sort of stance. He goes, another karate guy. Because I think he was a kung fu guy. And he does a spinning heel kick a la Joe Rogan with cowboy boots on. So as bad as it would be to catch Joe Rogan's heel, just imagine it's Chuck Norris's heel and it's in a cowboy boot which, you know, has a manly high heel on it.
I never saw one episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. Have you?
No, that's why I want to watch it. Because I feel like all the snarky douches killed off that sort of manliness on television.
You know, he sings the theme song.
Huh?
He sings the theme song. Sorry,
that's
to interrupt you.
That's awesome.
Wait, who does? Chuck?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it starts off in the eyes of a ranger, and then he's kind of like he talks a little first, and then he starts singing. Yeah, the chorus.
That's a man who was in the business long enough and found out that if he sang the song every time they play the episode, he's getting paid. That guy never had to buy another gi for the rest of his life after that gig. And then he had that fucking thing that brought you up and down the slide. Remember that? And he would sit there with his red chest hair, just fucking looking all shredded at like 80 or whatever the hell he was.
Oh, he did those commercials.
How many times late night you almost buy one of those?
Yeah, he did those commercials with Christy Brinkley. And I always thought something was going on with them during the thing, which, you know, I was like, something. I was like, you know, Chucky may be taking that down. She was divorced at the time.
Remember Body by Jake? The guy from Bachelor Party, man. He crushed it in Bachelor Party. And then all of a sudden, he was just Body by Jake. I bet he made way more money selling that shit than he did in the movie with the residuals. Guaranteed he did. I always love when I see people that used to be acting or whatever, and then they branch off. Like, what's her face? Suzanne Somers. All of a sudden, she had the Thighmaster. I'm like, there you go.
What about
now
Joe Piscopo?
She's making money.
Dude, Joe Piscopo got fucking jacked. He was fucking jacked.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he got.
He was foreshadowing what was going to happen in baseball. He was like 10, 12 years ahead. He was before McGuire.
Yeah,
How funny would that be if they asked Mark McGuire, how did you get into steroids? You know, I was a Joe Piscopo fan. You know, the guy. I mean, his first special, it was funny. But the next special came out, he just fucking grabbed a microphone, his fucking veins.
Dude, I think that that's such a gross thing when dudes have that vein, that wiggly vein in their neck, and their neck just starts at their jaw and it just comes out. Yeah. Who wants to look like that? I would never want to look like that.
I would love to know what the high of being on roids feels like. I don't think it's roid rage. I think you're just so excited. You want to show off, just pick up a refrigerator. Yeah.
No, dude, those guys are angry, man. I knew dudes that, like, those dudes fucking freak out at nothing.
That was the old shit, dude. That was the shit from when we were coming up, when it was like fucking horse tranquilizers and a little bit of cocaine or something. I don't know. Fucking St. Bernard's dick all fucking mashed up and you just shot it into your butt cheek. Just came out frothing at the mouth, just throwing kettlebells. No, there was no kettlebells back then.
No, acne. I had friends, they'd get acne, and you just, when they put a t-shirt on, and you were just like, oh, dude, I do not want to get.
Oh, yeah, and they had those giant lats, like they look like doors to get into a castle, and then they had, like, the skinny fucking legs, because I don't think anybody did a squat in the 80s. No, they had their big puffy pants, and they would come in, and they would wiggle into their fucking Olds Cutlass or their Monte Carlo or the Buick Regal with the T-tops. They would come in and they had the wraparound shades, you know, and some peroxide blonde was always sitting there who wasn't really that hot. She was just in shape and dyed her hair blonde. Remember those chicks?
Oh, my God.
It was just like, if you just, you know, let your hair go brown, you'd look like me. That could have been me in the passenger seat.
my dad had a Buick Regal. I remember a buddy of mine in high school. I was always friends with older people my whole life. Older kids wanted to hang with me always. And I was, whether it'd be a grade or two up, I don't know why. And
it's because you could grow a beard in the eighth grade, Paul.
Probably. And we're in this. This was me in seventh. This was me, the way I look now in math class.
I know. Dude, you do 3 days on the road. Paul's torso has a 5 o'clock shadow.
We decided to go.
You are fucking Teen Wolf.
No, dude, if I let it go, but I use all that shit to shave it down. So we decided to get in my friend's Buick Regal and go to New York City. We just cut school and we packed it. Five of us, two in the front, three in the back. and doing the dumbest shit. Like,
I was gonna say that in the house, how soon before the cops pulled you over?
No, we would
five shitheads in a Buick in the middle of a school day.
Yeah, we put in Wu-Tang, thinking we're cool. We're flying down the West Side Highway. Listen, cash rules everything around me.
Cream, get right? the money.
Dollar, dollar bill. Yo, we're sitting there, grew up on the crime side, the whole thing, right? And we just went to a place to grab beers. Like, we didn't even do it, right? Like, we went down to New York City and then bought either cans of beers or 40s and, like, tried to, like, drink them quick and then... But here's where it got fucked up.
Dude, that sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I would do that now.
And, yeah, and here's the thing, though. We picked up a hitchhiker. And in return, he gave...
Wait, where did he sit?
He gave weed. He sat in the back. He sat in the back with us, and we just drove him up a little bit off an exit.
So there's four in the back.
Now, on the way
home.
Two
in the front, and now there's drugs in the car. All right,
now
there's, wrong?
Four of us, and then we pick up a hitchhiker. Thanks a lot, man. Here's, and gives us, whether it was weed or hash, whatever it was. I think it was a bag of weed. We go back to my buddy's fucking house to drink beers, and I hit this thing, and I stared at the floor in the kitchen for what I didn't know was either a minute or 2 hours. I didn't know. And I looked up, and the pattern of the floor was on my friend's face. And I fucking freaked out, dude. I fucking freaked out. I start breathing heavy, dude. I'm laying on the couch. I think I'm having a heart attack. And he's going, dude, you got it. You're going to be
got
all right.
I got a bad
dude.
Feeling about this one, man.
My heart is just jacked up. They're trying to calm me down. I'm freaking out, dude. I'm crawling out of my skin. And then I realized, yeah, we took drugs off of a complete stranger in New York City. I don't know what the thing was laced with, but I'm glad it happened because I don't do drugs. It made me afraid. You know, my friends would trip on acid every day. I had friends that would trip on acid every day. And I never did it. One time they were like, hey, dude, here's a white pearl. We were at a friend's house on a Saturday, called it a white pearl. And I went like this, and I freaked out. I put on my tongue for a second. I freaked out. I spit it out. Not big on drugs.
So you wasted it.
I did the right thing.
I don't know, Paul.
You know?
There's a whole big argument now coming back around. That whole say no to drugs was maybe a wrong thing.
Really?
I think you say yes to drugs.
No.
Then you see how it makes you feel, and you see how far you can dig the hole, Paul.
No.
And still crawl out and rebuild it. Because if you don't, then what is your autobiography going to be? It's going to be like, what, 8 pages long?
No, this guy
stayed
crushed
away from drugs, and I enjoyed coffee cake with a cappuccino.
Yeah, and this guy crushed it in white leather cars, and he got girls.
I was reading a magazine at the bookstore, and then there I saw her with her corduroy pants.
Nah, man, I'm not
fornicate until we were married. No, I'm not advocating drugs.
And I don't like that shit that everybody's talking. Like, when you do psychedelic shit, you like when you see things, it opens up a new world. It's like, what does that mean? Like, what is
I'll tell you, Paul, I took mushrooms, and I've been sober ever since, because I understood that it was in this, I understood this feeling that I've been carrying my whole life that I never even noticed was there.
But were you in another world or no? Was it like,
I was in a whole new world. I was tripping on mushrooms.
Yeah, I see. I can't fucking relate. That's the one thing I wish I could relate. I don't know, but it sounds fucking scary.
No, it was like, I was in this, there was this feeling. And it wasn't like hostile. It just was. And there was no outrunning it. There was no walking away from it. It just undeniably was.
Wow.
And I couldn't ignore it. And I had to face it and be like, what is this? And I offered a couple of different answers. And the thing was like, that's not it. That's not it. And then I was like, oh, this is how I felt growing up. That's it. And I was like, oh.
What?
This is like what I need to deal with. I need to be sober, and I need to figure out what, you know, and dude, and I'm telling you, after that shit, within 2 days, I knew exactly who I was as a person and why I did stand up. I knew everything that I did in my life, why I did it, good or bad, helping people, hurting people, fucking shit up, the reason why I drank the way I drank. I knew every fucking bit of it. So there are certain ones, you know, that was my experience, Paul.
I love how Andrew's in the back just going like in complete understanding. He's like, yeah, no, that's right. That's it.
But Bill says, I mean, listening to people talk about this can usually be insufferable, but Bill's nailing it. Like, that's just very simply, that's what it is. It kind of just washes away a lot of.
You don't get the trip you want, Paul. You get the trip you need, man. Yeah. That's what.
Jesus. Nah, fuck that, man.
Yeah, so that's what happened. No, I fucking hate, like, I used to do a bit about, is there anything worse than listening to somebody dumb that took mushrooms? And then you got to listen to them like they figured some shit out. And it's just like, no, man, you were just in an altered, like, that when they'll, I don't like listening to people that tripped and like, I fucking saw God, man. And like the clouds open up and I was like, whoa. And the thing was like, come on, man. And I was like, you know me, I was like, fucking, man. I think half of it is people just make this shit up. But I watched this video about them using low levels of...
Microdosing?
Yeah, like mushrooms or like ecstasy is part of therapy for people that to treat PTSD. For like, you know, it was over in Israel. And one guy, one of the cases... There was a terrorist attack. Some fucking asshole blew up a bus full of people. And this guy was one of the first people that ran up, and it was just all body parts and shit. And he was just some regular dude. And he just had saw that, totally fucked him up. There was another woman who got kidnapped and she thought she was going to get killed and raped. They ended up letting her go. And there was another one that this dude got molested by his dad. So all of them had these fucking things. And they were on this trajectory. That moment happened. It's like a bend in the airway. They just went in a different fucking course. So then they took this shit and, you know, because I think it was trying to undo like that shock where you just block it out. And then you're just like, I blocked it out. I'm not feeling it. And you're just carrying it with you. And it's affecting all of these decisions. So they, in an experimental way, are using this stuff. So those cases that they showed... they were claiming that it had a positive effect. And then they said that 80% of them, some really high number, it had a positive effect. So I don't know. All I know is I only did it one time. And that's kind of, what all I think I needed. I kind of felt like in the last like week that maybe I needed to do it again. Like every once in a while, almost like do it again to be like, all right, let's see where that feeling is now. But like, you know, but it's fun to get there, you know, look like the fucking, you know, inanimate shit was breathing. It was like the whole fucking place was doing this. It was
I would have a fucking full-fledged panic. I can't handle shit. I'm a bitch when it comes to shit like that. I'd be like, dude, that tree's breathing.
You know, so you got to be like, you just fucking roll with it. You just don't sit there trying to fight. It's like, all right, yeah, but Paul, it's like you're fucking going like, oh my God, is the chair alive? Like you're in some high school film strip. Trying to scare kids. You just look at it, you're like, oh, the chair looks like it's breathing because I'm tripping on mushrooms. You don't forget that you took mushrooms. It'd be one thing, dude, if you like, you just forgot. Yeah. Or if somebody slipped this shit into your drink and all of a sudden you're walking around and shit started doing that. But even then you'd think like, okay, obviously I somehow ingested something because I know this isn't, you know it isn't real as it's happening.
Well, you know what? You called me Paulie. You called me Paulie Positives, and I think that's why I tampered with, little eight ball corner pocket. To me, is number one. That's why I just can't do it.
Which is insane, because that is like the most evil fucking drug ever. And like, I've never seen anybody on coke who was cool ever. All you want to do is get the fuck away from him. And if you're doing blow with him, all you're doing is watching to make sure he's not doing all of it. I mean, dude, that fucking, there's like different drugs, dude. Like that drug is on the other side of the tracks. Don't go into that neighborhood. I will tell you this. One time I saw this fucking guy. I don't know what he was high on. I was on 23rd in Broadway, right by the Flatiron Building. And it was one of those fucking freezing cold New York City days where the wind is just whipping through the buildings. So it's already like 5 degrees out. And then with the wind, it goes down to like minus 15. And I don't give a shit how many layers you have on. it goes right to your bone. And we were sitting there waiting for the light to change. And I'm just sitting, you know, cocksucker, motherfucker, let's fucking go. You literally want to run home. And I hear this guy just crying, laughing. And I look over and there's this guy in a fucking jeans and t-shirts. And he is crying, laughing. And he's like, not even there. It's like whatever he's experiencing, he was just crying, fucking laughing. He was laughing so hard, it started making me laugh, even though I was freezing my ass off. And I always wondered what he was on.
Yeah.
And I was like, as much as that's fucking his life up, like that experience of that is a very rare thing.
I mean, that sounds like weed or edibles to me. I mean,
no, dude. No, this guy was tripping. He was like, he was seeing shit. It was like there was somebody talking to him, telling him the funniest story ever. And like, dude, he was standing there and he was turning slow. He was like going, I can't even do the laugh. It was a pure joy. It was like a high school cafeteria laugh where everybody's just pounding the table and you wonder if you're ever going to laugh like that again. He was doing it by himself in like minus 15 degree weather in a t-shirt and jeans. And we're all sitting there freezing our fucking asses off waiting for the light to turn. And I was just sitting there going, like, it was one of the few times like I ever saw something and I was just going, well, maybe drugs aren't bad. Right. I mean, I don't think I haven't enjoyed a summer the way this guy's enjoying the fucking winter here with no jacket.
Yeah. That sounds like some neck shit, man.
Yeah.
Those are the best. Those laughs add to your life. My dad took me and Christian to see Rodney Dangerfield at Radio City. And I don't know how they allowed me in there, but I was sleeping on my dad's lap by the end of it. It's true. And my dad was laughing so hard at another guy laughing at Rodney. So he said Rodney was killing so hard that the guy would laugh so hard at a joke and then try to catch his breath to get the next joke, but like couldn't. And my dad was in the balcony at Radio City watching this guy. And my dad still says, as great as the show was, that guy laughing at him made his night.
Yeah.
Like watching somebody cry laughing, like watching somebody truly, truly cry. One that I remember that I laugh at, Patrice O'Neill, rest his soul, when that guy was in Opie and Anthony and they were saying stuff and he would make his dick go up.
Oh, the up and down game. Yeah, the up and down game.
He said something about the Mets and his dick would just go up and then go, dude. When Patrice started fucking, like, he started out like a police siren. And yeah. He just had to walk out. When I watched that laugh, I literally almost started to hysterical laugh. When you catch one like that, it's incredible. Yeah. It's like a laugh like that is incredible. I know you said you had one at a funeral.
Yeah.
I had one.
My buddy's dad died and it was pouring down raining. So they had one of those stupid Home Depot little fucking force things with the tent top. And it was just too many people because the guy was so beloved. So we were standing there and there was no way to get underneath it. So we were, you know, getting rained on. And my buddy was just inside of it. And for some reason, the rain was coming down so hard, it created like this river. And it was just missing my buddy's coat. And in the middle of them, like blowing him into the ground, my buddy just was standing there to break the tension and the sadness, reached up and just grabbed it. And leaned it over. So when my buddy had like, it wasn't like suede. It was just that faux whatever horseshit, like Letterman jacket, you know, and then the fake leather sleeves. He had a jacket like that on.
Okay, yeah.
And it went down his fucking back. And we started laughing because it broke the tension. And then we were also like, oh my God, we're laughing at a funeral. So I just remember looking away and seeing one of like the guys that was driving the casket, one of those fucking guys, was just standing there looking at us like, what the fuck? Yeah, I had one of those. I had another one time, long time ago. I was hanging out with a buddy of mine. He like always looked up when he fucking talked, like he really fucking insecure. Like, hey man, like, you know, what's going on? So we were drinking in Faneuil Hall. It was like last call. We were trying to get something else to drink and we were just fucking wasted and we were hanging out. And then this older black guy came up He was dressed in a suit and he had this briefcase. So my friend's like, he's like, hey man, like, you know, what's with the briefcase? And the black guy was like, I got my papers in there, man. He goes, you always got to be ready to make a move. Something like that. And then my buddy just goes, we'll go ahead and make a move, man, because I'll fucking kill you. Right? Like he took it the wrong way because they were both high and drunk or whatever. Oh, and they both like started squaring off and the bartender like lunged between them. And I was crying laughing because I was like, that's like a perfect like sitcom joke. Like just when you just totally like misunderstand somebody. And I was like, I couldn't believe it happened. And then I was also like laughing because the guy was like 60, but he was in his shit. He was like an old time fucking, you know, hustle looking guy. And then my buddy's all like all fucking beer and waterlogged. That was one of those ones. I was laughing so hard. I couldn't even try to break up the fight or explain like, no, he meant business move. Can't make you move, man, because I'll fucking kill you.
I had one at the Soho Cigar Lounge where I actually feared for my health. I begged him to, I don't know what happened, but it's with a buddy and he was talking about colonoscopies. And he's, dude, we're having a great time. I mean, great time. I got a Davidoff Nicaraguan. I got some sort, I think I got either Lagavulin or Lafroy 10. I'm having a fucking great time. And we're sitting there and we start talking about men's health. And dude, he got so serious and he's going, no, Paul, it's not 50 anymore. Okay. It's not 50 anymore. It's 40. You got to get a colonoscopy, dude. They're finding this stuff like that. And he starts telling me all this stuff. And just out of nowhere, the way he did, he goes with all seriousness. He goes, have you had your asshole checked? Dude, the way he said it, I can't even, he just goes, have you had your asshole checked? Dude, he said it with, and I fucking lost control of myself. I said the sincerity of that. And then he starts laughing. I'm holding my stomach. And then, you know, when it just comes on, I'm holding, because he's talking about, have you had your asshole checked, dude? And I go, no, I didn't. Well, I'm just going, stop. And I could not breathe. And people were just looking at our booth. I'm pounding it. I just lost control of myself.
Dude, I had one with you that time when we were doing that gig in Maine and that guy came out and we thought he was dressed as Elvis. We thought he was a fat Elvis and it turned out he was just dressed as Wolverine and he was just fat. So he's more of a fat Wolverine.
Yeah.
So he came out and he was talking to us about whatever the fuck he was dressed up as. And in the middle of talking, this guy just fucking rips a fart. Like as he was talking to us, like it was nothing. And I remember you were talking to him when he ripped the fart and I just turned away and just like without trying to move my head or anything, just was fucking like dying laughing.
It went from us thinking this is going to be a cool hang and this guy's hilarious to he was smoking a shitty cigar. He was fat, out of shape. He was a slob who was farting, and we wanted nothing.
Yeah, he wasn't Elvis. He was Wolverine.
It was horrible.
I learned that night. The difference between Wolverine and fat Elvis is just, you know, about 40 pounds.
But he didn't even conceal that fart. He didn't even try to. I'd never seen a
dude,
guy.
Dude, it was fucking gangster. He just was like, he had to, and he let it go, and he didn't give a fuck if we heard it. And he didn't even break his. It was like watching Steve Grogan when the middle linebacker was coming up, and he just waited till the last second before he let it go. He just didn't give a fuck. Just standing with the train coming right at you.
Yeah. Oh, shit, man. That guy was fucking, he was a mess. I remember the woman he was with. I remember that. It was like some Halloween party. It was brutal.
Yeah, no, it was bad. The whole thing was, it was just a group of people that never had a chance.
It was fucking.
They just never did. The kind of people, even if they hit the lottery, like within 18 months, they'd be broke again and somebody would be murdered. Like they didn't have a chance. They never had a. That's one of the saddest fucking things when you do the road as a comedian. Like the first 4 years of your career, you are performing generally speaking, you are performing in places where people never had a fucking chance.
Oh my God, man.
And if you can somehow get through the depression of that, you have a chance to get to a funny bone or something. But I mean, there was just like, there were fucking people, dude.
No,
I remember. Oh my God. I remember a long time ago. I was fucking, I was dating this chick and, she sang in this cover band. So fuck it. I can't remember. So fucking long ago. And afterwards we were sitting at the table. It was around the holidays. And that song, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, came on. Mm-hmm. And the whole table of people, not her band, just the fans of the band were all singing it, cracking up laughing like they thought it was the funniest thing ever. And I was just looking at them. And I was looking at their dirty, all white Reebok sneakers. And I just saw all of them. I was just like, I wasn't judging them. I was just, this crushing depression just washed all over me. I was just like, these people are going to have kids and they're never going to have a chance. Like, there is no, this is before American Idol, Paul. There was like no way out of this.
The visual of you watching them sing the song, like at the intensity and hysteria that they were in during it, is amazing.
Oh, dude, it was like, these were people that lived in trailer parks, man. And it's just like, people don't understand. I don't think people understand that level of poverty, where they do a lot of stuff about inner cities, like non-white people, but white people that live in trailer parks, generally speaking, are just laughed at. So there's not even any empathy for them. And I just remember I had like empathy. I was just looking at them and I was hearing the smokers cough and I was seeing the boils on their faces. I mean, they literally looked like they were from another, they were so broke. They looked like they were from another century.
Oh, dude.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. And they would laugh every time it came around. And I was just like, oh my God. And then they were looking at me and I wasn't laughing and they could see me taking in what their world was. And I was only like Donnie Brasco. I had to like fucking fake like, it's always funny. Oh, dude, it was like, it was literally like the electric slide was the most exciting thing that happened to any of their families for generations. I mean, it was just fucking, I don't think that was one of the most depressed I'd ever been. I'd ever been. Like, I was just like, there's no reason why in a first world country people should have to live like this. Whatever books they were given in high school need to be updated.
It's tough.
This song should not bring this level of fucking humor and joy to these people.
That's what's making me like, no, man. Wait, and it's not judging. Like, I'm not trying to judge, but
I had restless leg syndrome. I was just fucking sitting there like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Nah, man.
I just wanted to just.
It's brutal.
I want to do the Irish goodbye to the relationship, too. I just want to be like, hang on a second. I have to go to the bathroom. And I just wanted to get in my car and drive out of Maine back to where I was living.
No, dude. I remember I went to this place once and it was so brutal. That like
the people in the band were cool. I'm saying, they're fans. I'm talking about, I was sitting with their fans and I was just like,
Is there anything better than driving away? Is there anything better than that's one of my favorite things to do ever, is to drive away. In that movie, where Ben Affleck's wife fakes her death. Yeah. Gone Girl.
Oh yeah.
Gone Baby Gone. Gone Baby Gone. Whichever one is. Yeah.
Yeah.
When she drives away and she's eating like snack foods. I thought the whole movie was fucked up, but she's just sitting there eating like ho-hos, driving a shitty car down the highway. And I remember thinking like, that right there is like the most free you can ever be. Just driving away. Just driving away from whatever it is. Get your food and just drive.
Just can't wait to leave. Just can't wait to leave. Stacy and I went to a place, and we don't want to judge anybody. We know people don't have certain amounts of money, but dude, they were bringing out like hors d'oeuvres and it was just like cold cuts on paper plates. Dude, it was, I'm not like, and you know me, like when it comes to meats and shit, like you got to roll it up, put it on some fucking, you know, I mean, they might as well have taken like, just like bologna out of the thing from the deli and just fucking slapped it on a paper plate. And like, you know, those like shitty cheddar cheese blocks with like toothpicks. It was like you give this shit to your dog. And I remember just sitting there and I'm like looking at my wife and I'm going like, we got to get the fuck out of here, man. I got to get the fuck out of here. Like
it's sitting there just seeing people that they have no shot in life.
It's sad.
I mean, you can't be a human being and not, you just sitting there. It kills you. Just looking at them and like, oh my God, you're meeting like fucking 18-year-old people that have the teeth of like a 60-year-old fucking sitting there with a cigarette dangling out of the mouth. Cause they don't know any better. It's just like, how do you end this cycle?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the conversations are brutal. It's just, you know, it's,
oh, and then they start picking up on you looking at them like that. Then you got to quickly be like, oh yeah, no, try to play it off.
No, it's brutal, man. And you don't want to judge. You want to, but I agree with you. I think if you give those people money, I don't think it changes.
No, you have to undo, like, yeah. You have to, yeah, like, it's a, you need a whole, like, they're done. They're done. They're cooked. It's done. You can't do, what you have to do is go in, like, special ops and take their children, which, why would you do that? But that's the only way to break that cycle, because those people...
No,
with
man.
That cloud hanging over them, are they going to teach those kids? And every once in a while, there's like the person that fucking makes it out of there. You know what I mean? And I don't know how they do it. I don't know how the fuck they do it. Like, wow, dude, that really just brought back like some fucking memories of some one-nighters I did in like New Hampshire, Maine, upstate New York, middle of this country, dude, just like in the middle of fucking nowhere. The places where like they dump the nuclear waste and these people say, we don't want it here. And they just don't have the money to fight it. And these, you know, you go, yeah, you know, you're doing stand up in a city where like a state where like the fucking life expectancy is like 48 years old.
Ugh.
You know, like Ben Franklin lived longer than half of these fucking people.
And what's sad too, is you see their parents. You see a little boy or girl that's 4 or 5. You see their parents and you're like, you're fucked. Dude, I went to this fucking like
that's
white trash.
Paul, we got to get off the subject. I think we're killing people here.
I saw this one kid. He was like 4. He had like wild hair. He was running around. And me and my buddy joked. It was like, dude, who's going to put that kid in the fucking cage?
Now, seeing people without a chance, dude, is just
sad.
It's the most depressing thing you could ever fucking see. And then you try to... Like how you can do it, how you can stop it, dude. It's literally like, it's like a fucking fan blade. You try to stick your hand in, you're going to lose your hand. You just got to like, if I could just save one. All right. That was uplifting.
You know, it's funny.
I saw that in Europe too, dude.
Did you?
All these fucking liberals out here trying, every other country's amazing and this country's so fucked up, dude. I saw that in Europe. I saw it other places that I went to that you're not allowed to say because then you're being mean to the country. But like, dude, I've seen levels of fucking poverty that it makes you question God, everything. You're like, I know there's a devil. Like, I definitely don't have a doubt about that. But like that there's a God that gives a fuck, that makes human beings wired the way they are, that they can like oppress people and just fuck people over. Dude, it's all right. Let's move on, Pill. Let's move on. So Halloween's coming up, dude.
What are you going as?
Well, no. I'm psyched. I think the kids can go out with like a mask because 2 years ago I took my daughter out and she was so friggin' excited. She was so shy the first 3 houses. And then when she got candy and they were all freaking out about her costume, they would open the door and she'd be down the end of the walk just screaming, I Doc McStuffin! You know, and she just like hailed in it up and was like, I mean, it really is the greatest night ever in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it's better than Christmas for a kid. It's like they're living this fantasy. You just knock door to door and people just give you free candy.
Yeah.
And your parents are going to let you have some and not, you know, tell you to brush your teeth or whatever every 5 seconds or who gave you that or whatever. And it's yours. It's your candy.
And you get complimented every door. You look great. Yeah. Yeah. It is great. And going with your kids is good. Going with your kids is like, it brings it back in a way, you know?
Oh, like, this, I just watch, as long as my kids are having a good time, I don't give a shit. As long as they don't end up, Paul, in those situations like we just fucking described.
I don't like those piece of shit houses that keep their lights black. They just call it out. It's like, you can't go to the store and buy a fucking couple of Kit Kats, you lazy fuck.
Well, no, if they're single and, you know, they want to go out, you know, the chicks whore it up that night. You want to go out and see, you know, if they're out there trying to get laid, Paul, it's not always that.
No, I know. I'm talking about the families that are home that just do the, you know, the good ones will leave a bucket at the end. And they just
But then the piece of shit kids take all the candy.
I respect it,
Paul. I respect the light out. Because there's a lot of people that participate and then they just give you like the little bite-sized tight fuck, you know, candy. It's like, why don't you just keep the light out? But this is how you're going to show up on Sunday.
Open the door and go, hey, what do you got? I give extra too. You know me. I give extra.
I used to do full-size candy bars, and then what happened was these fucking asshole parents would have their kids come back again, and then adults would start coming by, and I would just be... I remember one time there was a guy...
Wow.
Like, fucking bald, and like in his... He's like as old as I was. I just go, really? He's like, yes. I'm like, really? He goes, yes. And I didn't have any more reallys in me, and I still had candy, so I just gave it to him. I'll never forget that. Really? Yes.
Just give extra. You guys want a little more? Take a little more. Plus, we don't get a lot up here. So, like, we get, like, a couple of rushes, and then we just have all this extra stuff. So the last 10 people that come, we just load them up.
Get it out of here.
Yeah, get it out of here.
I'll tell you what I used to like as a kid, and I just can't handle it anymore, is a Butterfinger.
Ugh, I don't like it.
Oh, my God. It's just like, Jesus, enough. Is there anything in here other than sugar and glue?
It just sticks to your teeth. No,
oh, yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah.
What's your horrible. It's like you bit into a mouse trap that had that sugar. I know those glue traps for mice.
Ugh. I'm a Twix guy, dude. Twix is incredible. Caramel on a cookie? Over.
You know what's
over, funny?
I had one of those when they first came out. And I was like, this is the worst fucking candy bar I've ever had in my life. I fucking hated them. And then years later, there was so many people eating Twix. I was like, maybe I got a bad one. And I tried it. I actually liked it.
Yeah. You know what? The cookie with the caramel together is good. I'm a gummy bear guy. All that shit. Dude, I had
those fucking gelatinous things.
I know.
It doesn't taste like, it's like air. It's like you're eating a fucking chewy button or something. It's like something that should be on clothes.
I don't know why I love them. Starbursts. I love taffy.
Well, Starburst has flavor. That's another thing sticks to your teeth. But like gummy bears, there's like no flavor. Like I get excited. Oh, a green one. I'm going to taste some fucking, science infused lime here, you know, or the orange one. And they just sort of like, you can't even bring your teeth together. You know?
No, remember Now and Laters? Those were fucking, dude, that was like, talk about giving money to a dentist. Now and Later was like.
I never had one of those.
Oh, Now and Laters were horrible for you. It's all bad for you. Dude, I had 11 cavities as a kid once. 11. Doctor was just like, you know, they had like a meeting.
Dude, you were
mom.
Just not brushing your teeth.
I was just eating candy and like I would like rush my teeth at night, like real quick when my mom said to Lucas has a problem. Lucas is really addicted to taffy and candy and he had a bunch of cavities and they go, dude, he's bad. Like it's bad. And now all his baby teeth are gone. So now he's just like, dude, I saw him. I saw him sneaking last night into the thing, He just loves candy, dude. He loves candy. I did too. I'm a sucker for fucking, I love candy.
You had it laying around and you passed it on, Paul. Now you're making me depressed. This is the trailer park of your family tree.
Hey, all right. The worst thing you're going to say about my family is we eat a pack of Twizzlers. What the fuck?
Dude, licorice sucks. Dude, that shit, it's like it's rubber. It just doesn't taste like anything.
I don't like red vines as much, but a nice Twizzler. Twizzler with popcorn is a nice combo at the movies, dude.
Oh, dude, you can take all, and that's movie popcorn, dude. There's nothing better than the first third, and the rest of it makes you question how long you're going to live. Like, you just want to die. And I fucking hate, like, even if you get like a small, it's like just this giant bucket. Like, they're getting rid of it. Like, I don't know how much money they make on popcorn. It's like reverse caviar. It's just they cannot give you enough of it. Yeah. But like whatever they give you, it's just like, I mean, it's insane. It's an insane amount.
What's grosser or more gross, should I say, than getting a hot dog at a movie or those nachos? That's fucking,
that's
dude,
hardcore.
That's taking it to a hole. It's like, just get a fucking pack of candy and some fuck. Here's what you do. If you go to the movies, you get a small popcorn, your favorite candy and a drink. And you call it a fuck. But these guys put nacho cheese and fuck. Yeah, give me some jalapenos. They got chicken fingers now, pizza, hot dogs. It's like, it's fucking, it's too much.
I always overdo it when I go to the movies. I'll get two giant things of fucking candy and just get that sugar going. And I'm like, oh man, I'm getting too high. Getting too high. I need the popcorn. I got to bring it down with the salt. And then I finish it off with, like, you know, it's weird. Like, I like M&Ms with the peanuts, but those plain M&Ms, dude, like,
do nothing for me.
Oh my God. It's just all sugar. You have like fucking three of them, three handfuls of those things. And you're just like, I think I got to go home.
My wife loves Goobers. So the Goobers are just the peanut with chocolate on them. It's just literally.
That's good. I'm not into raisins, man. Raisins, chocolate covered raisins.
Oh, raisinettes, dark chocolate raisinettes. Not bad. Nah.
Raisins in a dessert, it's just like they shouldn't be together. I don't want to get like racist with food, but they need to be separate but equal.
That's how I am with nuts, dude. Leave your fucking walnuts out of your banana bread. Leave walnuts off a cake.
Oh, dude, walnuts with banana bread. Come on. That's like Laurel and Hardy.
I don't like the crunch. You know, I don't want
crunch. I got to tell you something, Paul. As much as Italians crush cuisine, your desserts are fucking terrible, dude.
You don't like cannolis?
No, I'm always disappointed. Like, it doesn't even make it sense that it's not that good. It's so fucking dry, and then the filling just doesn't do it. You know, maybe if it's a pistachio one, it's all right. Dude, and those fucking dry-ass cookies, and the other thing that begins with a B.
Oh, biscotti. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, biscotti, the fucking... all of that shit. You need a gallon of water to wash it down. I don't understand how a group of people can make octopus taste good, but you can't make a fucking cookie. It doesn't make any sense.
No, the rainbow cookies are good. There's a couple places I could take you in the Bronx.
No, I'm done with that shit. I'm done with that shit. Everybody, oh, dude, I got the Italian bakery. Okay, you know what? The rainbow ones, they're not the ones that look like trees, are they? Or that's what Christmas cookies.
Champagne cookies.
No, that's the one that looks like. I'm talking about the one that's green, pink, and white, and there's chocolate around them, but they're moist and wet in the middle. They're fucking delicious, man. They're delicious. There's a place.
I got a sweet tooth like nobody's fucking business, but I'll tell you that I don't think I've ever ordered dessert in an Italian restaurant.
We just got a chocolate German chocolate cake for our Oktoberfest, which was pretty fucking delicious. German chocolate cake's really good. Carrot cake
can
is really
go
good.
Either way. Can go either way. German chocolate is never, it's either great or it's fucking terrible.
You like pie?
You got it, huh?
You like pie?
Oh, Paul, I can fucking make a pie. I swear to God.
What are you going, peach cobbler? You going you going a little peach cobbler?
Whatever the fuck you want. Fuck you want, I'll make a pie crust, okay? That'll make your Sicilian eyes water up. And then whatever filling you got, I'll grab a recipe off the internet and then I'll just add to it. I'll improv off of that like a jazz band. I just had that recipe egg me on.
Dude, I'd love a nice pie.
What do you want, Paul?
I'll go for
it. Throw it right in your face, Paul. You can.
What do you do?
The greatest afternoon of your life.
Scoop of vanilla next to it. Can you make a cherry pie?
Never did, but I could. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Ooh, peach cobbler sounds good.
Peach cobbler's horrible.
Is it?
Ugh. It tastes like somebody already chewed it and then puked it up. I always feel like a cow had it first, went through its first stomach, and then it yacked it into a fucking plate. I hate peach cobbler.
What about lemon meringue?
Although my sister-in-law makes a great one. Because you know what there is with hers? There's actually the crust.
Yeah, I love the crust.
Dude, it always looks like, dude, after two scoops, somebody takes it out, it looks like somebody stepped on it too. Like somebody dropped a bowling ball right in the middle, and it's always in some fucking aluminum fucking tray.
I mean,
low rent, dude. Peach cobbler's low rent.
Warm apple pie, scoop of vanilla is Jordan of pies. Warm apple with a scoop of vanilla. You just can't fuck with it.
I'll tell you, I have a pie that can fuck with that. It's an Indiana cream pie.
Oof.
The recipe came from, I believe, Indiana.
Chocolate in it or no?
No. Well, you're going to have this thing. Dude, it's like heroin. It's like fucking
wow. Heroin.
It's one of those things like I don't make the pie because if I make it, I'm going to finish it. I will sit there, Paul, like I'm eating a bowl of cereal.
Dude, I'm getting starving right now. You got to do this. We got to do this. No, we got to do this. We got to do this with a stick. We got to do this with a stick.
All right, the next time you and I are hanging out,
yeah,
I'm going to make that fucking cream pie for you.
Here's what we do. We go to all dinner, right? Either steakhouse or Italian dinner, and then we do the pie that you make, and then we top it off with a fucking Cuban.
You let your Irish, German, Mick fucking friend handle the dessert. I'll let you guys handle the fucking, you know, the entree, the second, and the main course. By the way, if I can do anything for America, I want people to stop calling the main course the entree. That's French for enter. It's the first thing. It's the first thing.
Yeah, I never do that. Yeah, I never do that.
Stop calling it the entree.
I'll tell you one thing, and then I know we gotta run. I gotta got a fucking early flight tomorrow. When we were in Austria.
Oh, shit.
Was everything all right?
My wife just sent me a text. They took off the back of the fucking driver's side mirror. Oh, no. What happened?
Oh, boy.
Someone just hit my car and kept driving.
Oh, well, shit.
They're all right. Whatever.
All right. Well, anyway, I was just going to say, minor. In Austria, they have cheese at the end of everything. So it like cheese closes the dessert. So it's like appetizer, then dinner, then dessert. And then the guy came with cheeses. And I go, what's this? I got all excited. I was like, this is.
Oh, dude, I remember that. That was one of the greatest fucking places I ever played. And I was so stuffed before I even came in there. I couldn't stop eating that food.
And then he goes, oh, cheese, we do at the end of everything. And I was like, oh. Oh, my God. I was just like, oh, amazing.
There's a reason why Hitler wanted to get that piece of property back first. He got greedy, Paul. If he just stayed with that, if all he did was just try to get Austria back and he let all those other poor innocent people fucking.
He's a fucking dope.
He is a dope.
Somebody's going to animate that.
Oh, you're going out on a limb here. He's a dope, and Jacksonville's in disarray because their coach is out in a fucking Hooters, Paul. I mean, you are the king. Dude, you're like so mesmerizing. So you just go, he's a dope. I'm like, he's a dope. Like, we're talking about some jerk off down the street that you don't want running your website. It's Hitler, Paul.
Dude, I told you.
The way you talk about Hitler, like you grew up on the block with him. Like, what the fuck's the matter with you? Like, that's what you would say to Hitler.
No, somebody's going to animate that. Me and Hitler on a boat fishing, and it's going to be quiet. And I just look at him.
Why wouldn't you say, hey, if you met Hitler, why wouldn't you say, hey, look at that? And then when he looks, you hit him with the fucking bat. That's what you should do.
Because when somebody's that fucking nuts and does what he did, I need an explanation for a second. I need to find out what he was thinking.
But Paul, for the fascination of a lunatic mind?
Because if I just said to him on a boat, dude, what the fuck were you doing? What are you thinking? What's wrong? What's the fucking matter with you? And then wait for an answer.
What's he gonna be like? I know. I'm always blaming Jews. Like, what do you think he's going to say?
Yeah, I guess he's not going to have, like, yeah.
First of all, Paul, you were on his hit list.
What do you mean? Oh, Italy.
Italy and the Greeks. You guys were on his hit list. This guy was not stopping.
Right.
With what he started with. He considered all Hungarian people, all of those people, consider all of them mongrels.
You know, the Greeks kept them out and they still celebrate that day. It's called Ochi Day. It means no. And that's when they said no. And then Churchill later on, because they thought Greece was gone. And then Churchill later on said, let us not say that people fight like heroes. Let them say they fight like Greeks. I just botched it. But yeah, that was, they had a big pushback, the Greeks.
There you go. No, but that was a great way he said it. He gave you guys a shout out. So you keep picking his ass so that you'd help him out. At the end of the day, dude, I guarantee you, Churchill didn't give a shit about Greeks.
Oh, not
he
at
probably,
all.
He probably thought he was above you guys, too. Those fucking English people. I mean,
yeah,
they think that they're a cut above. There's people out there that they think they're a cut above. There's other fucking groups. I can only make fun of the white ones that do. That's how the game works. But you know, there's a certain country over there in Asia that gives white people a run for their money as far as thinking like they're the chosen ones. And yeah. Oh, the other countries out there, Paul, they have paid the price. They have paid the price, but we're not going to talk about that, Paul. We're here to fucking wrap this thing up.
We're going to wrap this puppy. Oh, by the way, we didn't talk about, I don't know if you saw it. We didn't talk about the Tyson Fury Wilder fight, but can I just say this?
Oh, let's talk. Oh, we didn't talk about is your Boston Red Sox are advancing. Shout out to all the Yankee fans who said to me, yeah, have fun getting swept by Tampa.
Oh, well, there you go.
We had a great time. We had a fun time getting swept by Tampa.
Well, here's the thing. I enjoyed the fight. I put a 20-foot screen in my backyard. I put a gigantic movie theater screen in my backyard, and we had an Oktoberfest party. We had a bonfire, and everybody sat around and watched a fucking movie theater-sized screen of the fight. Pretty clear, too. That being said, everybody comparing it, people compare. I know they're trying to sell a fight. It's not Gotti Ward. It's not historic. It was a good fight. It was a decent fight. It wasn't the fucking, people were making this.
I got to tell you, Paul, it was pretty sloppy. It was one of the, some of the ugliest boxing I've, it was just ham-fisted.
Wilder didn't even block his head, man. Like, I'm watching a fight, like the guy wasn't even protecting himself. And I thought it was cool that Fury went down twice. Never happened before. Wilder got up. I thought it was cool that way. But is that how bad boxing has gotten? Because UFC has taken over so much that when you watch a couple of sloppy guys getting up and down, it becomes one of this group. It was a decent fight to watch.
There's a new era in boxing. It's the dad bod era. You're seeing these guys with dad bods fighting absolutely shredded Adonises. And they're somehow winning. That Latino dude, man.
Ruiz, yeah.
I love that guy. He fucking got knocked on his ass, just looked, all right. Came up and fucking knocked the dude. I know he lost the next one, but like, I don't know. As a dad, a little bit of a dad bod, there's no way. You got to root for the guy who's got some love handles out there who looks like, you know, he just came walking out of his front, you know, front porch. And your kid's knocking off over there. I'll give you a Sunday punch. It's amazing that Tyson Fury at 6'9",
yeah,
can slip a punch. This is incredible.
Well, not only that though, he gets hit in the face real hard and comes up. That guy's come up, dude. When he sat up like the Undertaker in that first fight, when he was getting hit on the way down, I don't know how he got up. I give him a lot of credit.
No, that guy is like, he's like Tex Cobb. Tex Cobb would get hit in the face and he'd fucking shake it off. He'd smile and he just would keep coming. That guy, dude, those guys are not, they're not built like regular people. But I always, at this point though, dude, knowing what you know now about CTE, like I could do without them cutting to Wilder's wife crying.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I didn't understand why I needed to see Tyson Fury figure out what roads he took to the fucking arena. I mean, the fight before was a great fight, one of the fights, and I'm watching this guy, he gets knocked down for the first time in his career, and they got a split screen with Tyson Fury sitting in like this fucking nice chair, shooting the shit with some people in his dressing room. It's just like, I don't know, I thought that was disrespectful to the fighters.
Yeah, listen, I enjoyed it. It went 11 rounds and I had people over. That's always fun. And there were some nice shots. That's always fun. But to compare it to Gotti Ward, to compare it to Gotti Ward is just, this just wasn't.
I think that's because of that YouTube kid's taking all the money, because I noticed like 9 times during that fight, they had to remind me that I was getting my money's worth.
Yeah.
Did you notice they kept saying, I mean, this is excitement. This is what boxing, I mean, you can't complain about this.
Yeah, because and UFC, Dana White and the UFC do a fucking banger every other weekend where you're like, oh, this card's incredible. I'm going to it's going to be 3.5 hours of epic. And these guys fight Tyson Fury and them fight once a year. So that's the thing. But I did enjoy it. But people got mad at me. They're like, that's such a garbage take, Paul. Saying that, I go, I liked it. It was good. I didn't. It's such a garbage take that you didn't enjoy it. I go, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it very much, but it's not Gotti Ward. It's not historic.
No, Gotti Ward was like it was also like the way that they moved and the way they were punching and everything. Like, I mean, that looked like a fucking barroom brawl for like 90 minutes. I mean, that was like some shit like you'd see in a saloon, an old cowboy movie. It was just haymakers.
Wait, which one? The recent one?
Yeah, the recent one. I was just saying that one. I was just like, what the fuck? But then, you know, Gotti Ward was just like, dude, like, how are these two guys still standing? That was
Gotti
like,
Ward
that
was like
the close.
There was like a real Rocky Apollo. Like, Gotti Ward was like if you saw that.
Corrales Castillo is another one that I always bring up. Yeah. That was a great one.
Yeah.
Evander Holyfield versus Michael Doakes was a fucking sick fight.
Just remind me to tell you something after. Remind me to tell you
go
something.
Ahead, go ahead.
No. No. After. But you just said something. But I do like that boxing did have a nice little night, and boxing was like
It was a great fight and all that type and that type of stuff. But it was just like I could have done without seeing the dude's wife crying. I didn't need to see that.
Yeah. No. All right, man. Well, I know you got to go. I got an early flight. And,
so, Paul, what's your prediction? Who do the Red Sox play? Now, if the Red Sox play the Astros.
No, that you are playing the Astros, I think. Oh, no.
We are playing the Astros? No, it's the trash can fucking ball. We're both going to go to Home Depot and get some trash cans.
The one thing about that I know about baseball is it's timing, and you guys are flying right now, so anything could happen. And it's not a quick series. It's not a wild card or a three-game series. So.
Oh, I forgot to give you shit. You know what Paul did to me last week?
What'd I do?
When, you know this is coming, Paul. When I was 3-0, looking at possibly going 4-0 to win my final bet, when it was the end of the game and you knew that the Tom Brady Buccaneers were not going to cover, you fucking texted me, Vegas is so good. That really bugged me. You gave a shout out to a bookie as your buddy was losing a bet. That's how competitive you are, Paul. A problem.
No. You know I don't wish that. I didn't wish that on you. I don't do. By the
Paul,
way,
there
I
was
don't,
joy in no. that tweet. The Germans, we call that Schadenfreude.
But
we have a word for that. Schadenfreude. That's what it was, Paul.
We need to get one thing straight. I don't believe in jinxes. Okay.
Huh?
There's no way that me. Living
I didn't say
in,
it was a jinx. I was saying Schadenfreude is getting pleasure in the misery of somebody else. The Germans are so fucked up, they have a word for it.
I don't take pleasure in people that I love having that happen to.
Paul, there was joy in the text.
There are certain people that if you were them, I would be happy.
Who texts? Why would you text Vegas is so good when I'm losing a bet?
Did you ever think that maybe I was trying to like be consoling?
No.
Could be. That's
Paul,
who I am.
You're also the guy who like 5 weeks ago wouldn't shut up about the Yankees and their 13-game winning streak, and then they lose to the Red Sox. Hey, you know, I don't give a shit about baseball anymore.
No, it didn't hurt me as much is what I meant, and it didn't. Me and you have both been saying that. Are you really into this? You're not real. Are you really into the Red Sox right now? Like, really?
Listen, I have 2 kids under the age of 4. I'm not really into anything. I'm getting my ass handed to me by the bookie. I have all I can do to watch a fucking football game. You know what I'm into, Paul? Yeah. 8 hours fucking sleep. Now, if I had no fucking personal life, I'd like that's all I, Paul, that's what I did for almost the first 50 years of my life. Bruins.
Yeah.
Red Sox, Patriots. The Celtics, I would watch, but like you just have to, you got to pick you got to pick one or the other, Bruins or hockey or Celtics.
Something happens when you get older, though, and I think you nailed it. Married with kids, you can't give a fuck to a level. Like, you ever see a guy cry in a bar? You ever see a guy scream at a TV in a bar? The what the fuck? Like, that, I've seen that. And
oh, I saw a Chiefs fan in New York doing that. Dude, yeah. He had the whole conspiracy. He was just screaming at the TV. Oh, that's right. Give it to him again. Give it to him again. It's like, wow.
I can't.
And I was looking at, I was with Doug Sinye, and I was looking like, dude, this is how much, how long the Patriots have been winning.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Like, this guy has literally, it's like watching people that did the pandemic. You watch people kind of slowly go crazy. This guy had been losing. Just couldn't, his team could never win a Super Bowl, had not won a Super Bowl at that point since 1970. Like, that guy, I'm guaranteeing you, dude, he got thrown out of the bar. He was in New York City watching Chiefs Patriots and got thrown out of the bar. He was making so much fucking noise by himself.
Wow.
He got belligerent.
No, dude, that's like a level I've never, me and you saw the World Cup and we saw that grown man melt when Argentina lost and he was fucking bubbling, weeping. I've never given a fuck like that, ever.
Oh, that guy looked like he, like the some fucking doctor said, you have 6 months to live. And that was his last chance to see his country win the World Cup.
Dude, if my dog got hit by a car in front of me and I saw him like taking his last breaths and mangled, I don't know if I would be devastated. But that guy acted like that. And Brazil scored a goal.
You wouldn't cry if your dog died in front of you?
If my dog died in front of me, I would cry. But I would be like, dude, I would fucking do everything I can. This guy, that guy acted like his family got wiped out.
No, I understand that part. I don't understand, you know, dude, I can see if a cat dies, who gives a fuck about a cat?
Yeah, easy, dude. That fucked me up, man. A song came on. Guy's been in my life 16 years, man.
Dude, cats are like so transient. Like, they're playboys.
But people don't know how
they
to raise them.
They got the wide collar. They're not fucking, they're not in it. They're not out of it. They like you when they need something. They're fucking cunts. Dude, a dog.
Listen, a dog,
you come home, man. There's no human being that greets you. They greet you like a four-year-old for the rest of your life, their whole fucking life. They are so fucking excited when you come home. Cats don't give a fuck, Paul.
Dude, can we do a sketch?
I'm doing 80 stand-up right now, the difference between dogs and cats.
Can we do a sketch of coming home and having your wife act like a dog? Has SNL done that? Has somebody done when you come home and your wife is just like, oh my God, oh, just hugging you, kissing you, grabbing your face?
Bill had a bit like that
in one of my specials about how my dog greets me versus how my...
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And then she goes, you don't give a shit about me. I tell her, so why don't you act like the fucking dog when I come home every once in a while?
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. That
was not the right thing to say in that moment. I just make fun of my wife just to do it. She's fucking awesome.
Yeah, me and my wife are going at it. So I'm going.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah. I'm going.
Oh, we went at it this morning. My wife just started fucking yelling at me because I kept going, I can't shake this fucking cold. It's not COVID. I don't know what it is. And she always goes, maybe it's allergies. Every fucking time. It's like, it's not fucking allergies. Well, as you get older, your allergies change. It's just like.
Yeah, my
everybody
wife goes,
I know
yeah.
was talking about this cold that won't fucking go away. That lingers for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, my wife goes, hey, there's some dishes in there. If you could do them, I'm not going to do them. So I want you to do them. Or can you do them? And I go, oh, yeah, I'll do them. And then I started watching a fucking show. So I pass out. And, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, I hear dishes going. And I go, babe, I fell asleep last night. I'll do them now. I'll do them when I get up. She just goes, I already fucking did them.
Yeah, I'm with your wife on that, you fucking asshole.
I fell asleep, dude.
Yeah, you're a bum.
It's late.
Excuses. That's all I'm hearing, Paul, is excuses. You going to blame your offensive line now? Paul, I wanted to be with you on that one. You know, I have your back. I wanted to be with you on that one. She wanted him done so she could come home and wake up. Dude, waking up to a clean, is there anything better? Waking up to a clean kitchen. Dishes are done. Everything is spotless. Everything is where it's supposed to be. So you don't have to finish the fucking mistakes of yesterday and then go on a treasure hunt looking for everything as you try to make your fucking goddamn eggs.
Well, there's a deeper situation, and the deeper situation is maybe, just maybe, sometimes if they put in a little extra, maybe sometimes if they throw a little fucking more mustard on the fastball, I'll be inclined to not fall asleep.
Oh, we're not talking about dishes anymore. We're not talking about dishes anymore, people. I didn't know where you were going with that.
Yeah. By the way, I'm joking. My wife does so
much.
Dude,
it's the chicken or the egg. They're like, hey, you know, I'd fucking, you know, take care of you a little more maybe if you did the dishes. But then sex becomes like a reward. I used to do a bit about that. You took out the trash. You're a good boy.
Yeah, no. My wife fucking did a party and she did.
Paul, you can't complain because you live with her.
No, but she does
crush.
Where
does that get you?
No, she crushes everything, and she's fucking organized.
Including your fucking self-esteem. Come on, Paul, let it out.
No, she does a lot. She does a lot.
No eye contact. No eye contact. Body language.
She does a lot.
She's
got the fucking snacks out. She does the dishes. She fucking cleans. And then, yes, sometimes, you know, I'll come home late, and I could do the one thing. But see, here's the thing. I don't think it's
You just blew by what you could have done.
No. I think it's not a big deal if I do the dishes at 7:30 as opposed to doing it at 1 a.m. She doesn't.
Yeah, you're just get it done. Because, yeah. Paul, she doesn't want to look at those dirty fucking dishes. And then what's going to happen is the food's going to dry on them. You know you're doing a half-ass job. I already know, Paul, just looking how you dress, you're not good at washing dishes. I know that she probably has to rewash at least 30% of them. I cannot accept that in an adult.
No, we have a dishwasher, so we wipe it off and we spray it with the water, and then it goes in a dishwasher.
You got an automatic pilot, is what you got.
Yeah, it's basically unloading and.
So you can't even rinse off fucking plates and just stick them in the dishwasher?
Well, I would have to unload the dishwasher.
Oh, well, they're all dried and organized. All the bowls, you stack them up, boom. All the silverware, wham, 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 wham.
Yeah. I'm wrong.
You didn't, because you didn't want to. And she's tired of fucking walking around with two kids and feeling like she has three. Get off your fucking ass and do the goddamn dishes.
It's because, Paul, it's because when she's the type of person that she's not going to do the next thing unless that's done. So when she wakes up in the morning, she's not going to do the lunches, right? Because there's shit right there in the sink. So
she has to take care of the job that Paul didn't do.
Yeah.
And I know this, Paul, because I live this.
Yeah.
When the fuck?
I was going to do it.
No. Everything, you just do it right away. Yeah. It takes longer to talk about it. You could do everything you could do in 10 minutes. You can clean a house in 15 minutes.
I didn't expect to get fucking bullied on my two fucking friends on my podcast.
Oh, now he's a victim.
No.
Now he's a victim. He had a simple job to do. He doesn't take care of it. His wife calls him out on it, and now he's getting bullied. Paul, I'm sorry. I always take your side. You're wrong on this one.
I mean, Bill's going, and then you got the Greek freak popping in. I mean, fuck. I'm going to go take the garbage out right after this podcast.
You should. I cannot handle living with an adult that's like a fucking slob.
I'm definitely not a slob. I'm clean. I'm definitely not a slob.
Listen, Paul, I'm not saying you don't have your sneaker collection organized. If it's something you care about, I'm sure your cigars are lined up nicely in your humidor and you have your bottle colognes alphabetized. I'm talking about the mainstream areas, the bathroom, the kitchen. Paul, you can see it in your eyes. You can see it in your eyes, Paul.
No, I mean, I got a cleaning lady.
Yeah, your heart's your Jay Cutler, you know? You got all the potential. I just don't feel like you want to play in this city anymore. It's inexplicable.
Yeah, if I, you know what, you're right. If I put it on other things, the way I do my career and life and kids and being a dad, I need to do that. You know what? Fine. I could admit that.
It took a while, but okay, we'll give you that.
We could all get better. We could all be better fucking people.
Paul, you really couldn't admit it. You argued it, and at some point you said you were being bullied. I can't remember. It was just like, I thought at one point I was going to get canceled. All right. That is the...
That is the show, guys. So we gave you 2 hours on that one. I mean,
you know, you could be cleaner. I could be more easygoing. You know what I mean? That's why this podcast works, Paul. Together, we make one perfect bald man.
And speaking of... Speaking of that, get all of the podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Check out, obviously, Monday Morning Podcast, The Verzi Effect. Go to the YouTube channel. Guys, October 22nd, I am doing my first theater, The Wilbur Kid. I'm going to be there October 22nd, Friday night. Tickets are going. I hope to see you guys there.
Oh, you're
going to
crush it up there.
I can't wait to get up there. So there you go.
I can't wait to watch you still bring up Eli Manning and ignore that the Yankees just fucking lost again in the playoffs to the Red Sox. I'm waiting for that. You know you're still doing your Eli joke. You know
no,
you are.
I'm not.
You are.
No, I'm not.
You will. You get backed. You're going to get backed into a corner. You're going to dust it off.
No.
One more time. Little fucking Vaseline on the hat. You're going to fucking throw it right over there.
Shaking off the catcher. All right, guys.
I'm coming with the gas.
Till next week, man. We're out of here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Enjoy our football picks on our BetMGM edition. Talk to you guys.
All right. We'll see you.